Welcome back to Glory to His Name podcast, where our mission is to encourage, equip, and edify God's people through great devotions, interviewing spiritual leaders, people in the ministry, making a difference in eternity. And as always, if you'd like to contact us, you can email Travis and I at glorytohisnamepodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's glorytohisnamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also, to listen to all the podcasts, if you don't want to download the Podbean app, which we're on right now, you can go to Google, just type in Glory to His Name Podcast, separate words obviously, and it should pop up one or two on Google search engine. Just click on that, and I think there's like two pages. Once you scroll down the first page, you can click on the second page, and you're welcome to do that. We encourage you to do that and share those with your friends and family. So today we're interviewing a man that I met at my work, him and his wife, Roger Irvin, and just our hearts knitted together like David and Jonathan. And Roger is just, his focus in the ministry is witnessing. We all have different strengths, and Roger's strength is witnessing, sharing Jesus without fear. And he'll give you some more information on that during the podcast. It's a great resource for all of us to check out. He also shares different things about his life, and at the end he'll share a really nice, good book that we all should purchase. And I'll let you hear that at the end of the podcast there. But Travis and I are going to introduce you to Roger Irvin. Hope you enjoy this. Reach out to Roger if you get a chance. He'll be glad to help anybody that needs help. So without further ado, let's listen to Roger Irvin. Thank everybody for joining in to this podcast. We're here with Roger Irvin. He's a man that I met at the my work, where I work at Dynamic Healthcare. Him and his wife been coming in and getting some treatments, and seems like Roger, when we first met, our hearts kind of knit together. Like, and got a chance every time Roger came in to talk to him about the Lord and some things that were going on there. And so, Roger, just starting out, and we do appreciate you taking time to do this. You and your wife have been a real blessing to me. And so if you would, just give the folks listening today just a little rundown on your life and who you are.
Well, we started in Horse Cave, Kentucky, a small town with one red light. But I've spent my life in the elevator business. I've worked in a lot of our major cities, in tall buildings, and we retired a few years ago and moved back to the farm in Hart County, Kentucky, and where the life's a little slower. We enjoy that. Amen. But we've had the opportunity to meet with a lot of people, and when we were married in 1967, in 71 years, and Wanda is the second greatest blessing in my life. Nice. The first being when I accepted the Lord. And we've had an opportunity to witness to a lot of people, and just praise the Lord for that. I have stumbled over myself many times doing that, but we're not going to stop. We're going to keep doing it.
Amen. And sure.
We retired in kind of in 05, and then actually in about 2010, and I still get phone calls, and I'm glad to help people whenever I can in the elevator business.
What company, if you don't mind, if you can say, what company did you work for?
Well, when we retired, we had our own company. It was Irvin Elevator Group.
Okay, Florida. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, familiar with those guys.
We sold in 05. To a worldwide company, and we retained the residential. We had started a residential operation, residential elevators, that is, in last few years of our business, I kept that business and ran it for a couple of years, and then my son and his wife wanted to take it over, so they purchased that, and now then they run it as executive elevator in Louisville. And I have two sons that work there.
Gotcha.
That's yep. Awesome.
So Urban Elevator was your company, Roger? Okay, I'm sure. You're familiar with them, whether the company I work at, we had, I'm trying to think of the name of the, we've got a couple maintenance companies that come in to work on our elevators, but we've also got some people that installed equipment. And definitely heard that name out there.
So well, thank you.
Yeah, sure enough.
So, Roger, it seems like everybody we talk to, God has put everybody in different directions, different areas of ministry. But if you would, tell everybody that's listening today, what is your particular area of ministry now that you're retired, maybe before you retire? I know this has not just come on since you retired. You've been witnessing and working for God for a long time. But what's your particular area of ministry now?
My area now is to be the best witness that I can for the Lord. I like witnessing to people. And when I was saved in July 11 of 1970, I couldn't wait to tell people. I couldn't wait to tell people. Got home from church there with my in-laws and told my father-in-law, who hadn't been there that night, but then Juan and I got in the car and went to my cousin's house and told them, and I called my parents, who were 100 miles away. But when I got back to school and to work, I just couldn't wait to tell people about what had happened. And I stumbled over myself a lot and embarrassed myself, and because I was a brand new green Christian, a young man, and I was 23. And but that's always been something I felt like I wanted to do. Well, I let this the embarrassments I had created for myself and the just life slow me down on witnessing, but the desire never left. And a few years ago, there was I was passing, my wife and I used to stop at yard sales a lot. Always together. Didn't have a lot of interest unless she was with me. And she'd say, let's stop. But I was passing a yard sale one day and by myself in Hart County. And I thought, well, I'll stop and see what's going on. So I turned around, went back to it, and went in there and looked at some things, like looking at some cassette tapes they had.
Yeah.
And there was a copy of a tape called Share Jesus Without Fear. It wasn't the original. It was one somebody had copied and handwritten on there. That's what it was. And I thought, I want that. It cost me 25 cents for that tape. I bought two of them that day, that one and another one. But I got back in the truck and plugged it in. And every word, and that's done by Bill Fay.
Right.
Share Jesus Without Fear. It's not Roger. But every word clicked. It just worked. This is what I've been looking for. And with this, I didn't have to be afraid of opening my mouth anymore for the Lord. But I listened to it over and over and over again, and I still have it. But I just praise the Lord for leading me to that, because I didn't stop at yard sales by myself. But that day, the Lord led me to that one, and I did.
That's awesome.
And just give the Lord the praise for it. But with the training on this Share Jesus program, and I've gotten other CDs from that and the book, and
right.
I've been privileged to be able to teach that program in a couple of churches.
I just tell you this short story. I'm not trying to take up your time, but I was at the truck stop one day up by where Travis and I live, and I was pumping my gas, and there was a guy up there that had a big Harley Davidson motorcycle up by the front of the truck stop. Mm-hmm. And immediately the Lord, was speaking to me about, give him a gospel track. And he's covered from tattoos from head to toe, So I thought, no, Lord, I was just kind of really intimidated, to be honest with you. And years ago, I thought, he don't need no gospel track, Lord. And so anyway, I'm going back and forth, the Holy Ghost there, find the Holy Ghost and one out. And so I walked up to him and said, "Sir, yeah, I saw you sitting here and killing some time. I'd like to hand you this gospel tract from our church. You know, it talks about the Lord and how to get to heaven." Mm-hmm. And he took it and said, "Thank you." And I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you. I was like, maybe he's going to bite my head off, you know. The tattoo's going to jump off his arm and crush my skull or something. But, you know, he took that gospel tract and said thanks. And I left, and he was there reading it. And that just taught me a valuable lesson that day, you know. And so, but, you know, with witnessing, Roger, and that is something you and I have talked about the other day at work. In that program you're talking about, what if somebody maybe listening today just got saved, maybe hadn't been saved very long, and that's maybe an area they haven't got into or maybe struggling with, what is something about that that they may not know? What's a little key nugget there that you can kind of help them with?
Using the Share Jesus program?
Just about witnessing in general, or that, yeah, that's fine.
Well, that program helped me break the ice and not be afraid to talk to a friend or a stranger. And I have talked with a lot of people around the country that I didn't know their names, and I'll never see them again. This might have been in an airport, in a building, standing in front of an elevator, wherever. But there's easy to, with this program, it is easy to talk to somebody when I used to be so timid about it.
Yeah.
But it's that's what it has done for me, and I think it can do, and it has done for a lot of other people, is to just give you a way to break the ice that is non-threatening. A lot of people, when I used to try to witness, are intimidated or offended.
Yeah.
But with this program, and I sound like I'm promoting Bill Fay, and maybe I am, but it doesn't offend people. Now, the gospel will offend.
Absolutely.
But we don't have to.
Yeah.
If I offend you right off the bat, you're not going to hear a thing I say. But if I can share the gospel with you without offending you, then the Lord wins.
Yeah.
And that's who we're working for.
Right, sir. Yes, sir. I've got a friend in Georgia, Brother Freddie Spry. We're getting ready to go on a mission trip. We'll leave Monday morning to go out west to help some small churches out there. We'll be talking to people on the street and inviting people to church and taking the opportunities the Lord places in front of us, and he's always faithful to put people in front of us. Helping a small church out there, a fellow that was a former pastor, has gone out now to temporarily fill a position until they get a pastor. Good man, comes to our church, and he's out there now with his wife. And Freddie Spry, one of the best witnesses I've ever met in my life, Brother Roger, he's got this little business card that says, "Smile, Jesus loves you." Mm-hmm. And he colors them in with a fluorescent marker. And on the back, it's got a little gospel track, you know, some scriptures concerning salvation on the back. And the guy just, when he walks into a room, I mean, the room lights up. You know, we were out west, I remember a few years ago, and we were I saw this Rural King water that you brought in. It wasn't a Rural King, but it was something similar to that out west, a big Western store. And it had maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 checkout lanes. And I might have told you the story, I don't know. But Freddie doesn't hardly pass a person that doesn't get one of those business cards, you know, one of those tracks. And he amazes me. I mean, it's unbelievable. And he's got a real outgoing personality, real type A personality. And God's given him that. You know, it's not just all something he was born with. Like, God's fashioned it and molded it, and that's really neat to see. But he was witnessing to this lady, just handed her, said, "Hey, you know he loves you, don't you?" And gave her one of those tracks. Well, girls like 5-6 lanes down were saying, "Hey, can I get one? I want one of those, you know, over here." Right. It's just amazing to see how God uses the man. And I get inspired by him every time I'm around him. And he is a big advocate of Share Jesus Without Fear, Bill Fay, and he introduced me to that a couple years ago. And I have to say, I have not been I've not used it as often as I probably should have. I was impressed with the program and have used aspects of it, but I haven't used it regularly. And hearing you talk about it today is encouraging me to do that. And I think it'll encourage some of the people, some of the listeners. And not only, like Mike was talking about, new believers, which obviously I remember facing, I could just sit in the seat and feel myself going through the same things you went through. Sometimes we're overzealous and we maybe come on too strong and, you know, you push people away and then you think, I don't want to do that. I don't want to offend people. And if you don't care, if you're not careful as an older Christian, and I think a lot of people fall into this category as more mature Christians, they've been through that, hey, I've offended somebody because I was beating them over the head with the Bible in the beginning. I didn't mean to. I was just so excited. I wanted to drag everybody to church with me. If they could only find out how good it was to be a Christian, they'd all get saved. You know, that's how we all feel. And that scripture said that says a prophet's not without honor except in his own country and among his own people. You know, and sometimes those are the people that would be like, you know, where have you come from? Who are you? And so I think what happens a lot of times, well, I know what happens a lot of times, because of those initial experiences, sometimes we back away too far. Mm-hmm. And we stop witnessing, or at least not nearly as much as we should. Mm-hmm. We've got the hope of the world. Yes, sir, me too. We've got the hope of the world within us, you know, and what everybody needs to hear. And boy, what a trick of the devil to try to keep our mouths shut, you know. Well, so could you speak to that as an older Christian? I mean, just somebody that maybe knows, hey, I need to be witnessing, but I'm not satisfied with where my walk is and with what I'm doing. You know, what can I do to help myself get back on track? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, that's a very good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Many of us, as Christians, feel like we don't have the ability to witness, to share the word. But I don't find anywhere in the Bible that it calls for ability. It calls for a willingness to serve. He calls us to serve. And people, you mentioned about being a young Christian, as I said a few minutes ago, I couldn't wait to tell people, and you just shared that same feeling. But as we grow in the Word, I heard it said once that I think that we get spiritually constipated.
That's good, brother.
We won't share it enough. But as people who have been Christians for 10, 15 years, that stop. And again, I raised my hand.
Me too.
I did. I got away from it. But and part of the fear was afraid somebody would ask me a question about the Bible that I couldn't answer. Afraid I would get into a conversation that I couldn't finish. But the Lord said in Matthew 28:20, He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." And I keep reminding myself of that He's there. If I'll just turn it over to Him and let Him lead, every morning when I get up, as my feet hit the floor, I don't mean to sound bragging.
I
pray, thank the Lord for this day, and ask for His guidance. And but as back to what you asked, the witnessing, I got to where I wouldn't say a word. I was afraid to. And yet afraid I would offend or just scared to death for whatever reason. But not anymore. And this program, it gives you specific words to say if you want them. But every conversation, our conversation here is between us today and whatever's going on today. But this program gives you little tidbits that you can work into any conversation, anywhere, anytime. I shared with Mike how I was sharing with a coworker, and I'm going to continue to share with that coworker. Mm-hmm. But for me, it really works. And about the seasoned Christian, those are the people who I have found are most afraid to share.
You know, that's such a shame, too, because they've got the most to give.
That's right.
And what, like I said, what a tool and trick of the devil. Now, I have to be honest with you. When I was young, and I may have family members at some point listen to this podcast, and I'm sure not slighting them in any way, but when I first came to Christ, I was amazed that I had had Christians in my family that went to church most every Sunday, as far as I was aware, that had never witnessed to me. And I thought, up to this point in my life, the only people I ever had show up on my doorstep was a Jehovah's Witness, you know? And honestly, since that day, I think I was witnessed to one time in a hospital by a Nazarene preacher, a cousin of mine that came to visit me. He came more than once. He was faithful. I didn't want to hear what he had to say. I wasn't ready to receive it. Yeah. I'm ashamed of that now. Wish I'd received it much sooner, but he tried. And I had one young girl, since I lived in the subdivision where I live now, come knock on my door one day and talk to me about the Lord from a church not far from us, which thrilled me to death. I mean, I was just thrilled. But I was offended, brother, when I first got saved, that people in my family that I thought knew the Lord hadn't told me about God. And I thought, where's this information been my whole life? I've been searching. You know, I had all these questions. And nobody came and told me about the Lamb. It made me mad. Now I have to step back now and say, over 20 years later in my life, I could be that same person. There have been people I haven't taken the opportunity with. And not that I've missed every opportunity, I haven't. But there have definitely been opportunities that I've missed. And it's something, I think, a trap that a lot of people fall into. I really do. And then just kind of get comfortable there. You know, you're going to church every Sunday. You see some new people coming occasionally. And you, I don't know, you just kind of live off maybe off somebody else's victory, you know, and then maybe what the church is doing. But you personally aren't doing what you know you need to try to get the gospel to people. It's the hope of the world. I mean, it's what people need to hear. And we're not sharing it all the time like we need to. I think, again, like you said, out of fear, and not fear of, you know, we know everybody's not going to say, oh, yeah, you know, tell me all about Jesus. Tell me what the Bible says. But some people do. Some people want to know. And I think we're, you know, we live in a day where people are ultra sensitive about being offended. You know, nobody wants to be offended. Yeah. And in the workplace, we've got all these rules now. You can't share your faith, or at least they don't want you to. Yeah. And, you know, and people are kind of hypersensitive about, I don't want to offend anybody, you know, I don't want to offend them. But we can, God help us to, you know, not have that attitude in so much that we just sit and watch a person that has opportunity to come to Christ die and never go to heaven.
Right.
Because of the neglect that we had in our own life, you know. So I'm totally on board with what you're saying, brother, and it's an encouragement. And I think what you're saying is gonna help a lot of our listeners. I really do. And Roger, even pivoting from that, if you want to comment on that, I want you to tell us about a challenging day that you had. I mean, I know every time you talk to somebody about the Lord, you don't always get a good response. And you know, sometimes we hear these horror stories about somebody slamming a door in your face or cussing you out, or, and that again can be another excuse why we use not to witness, but most of the time that doesn't happen. I mean, most of the time people are a lot more receptive than what you'd think they'd be. And but tell us about it. Give us an example of a challenge that maybe the Lord saw you through over a rough day, so to speak, when you went out and you were full of zeal and wanted to do something for the Lord and talk to somebody about Jesus, and you did, and maybe the results weren't quite what you wanted.
Well, first I'd like to comment on something that you were talking about.
Sure.
You know, we know that if a person does not have the Lord, that he's going to hell when he dies.
Yes, sir. That's right? The ugly truth. Yes,
that's
sir.
The ugly truth. So if we know that, then where's our urgency?
Yes, sir.
Where's our heart?
I agree.
Where's our caring? Where is our urgency in wanting to share the word? And I look at myself, and you mentioned a few minutes ago about something about looking back and feeling guilty and wishing I hadn't done it that way. Boy, I can, you know, I can't count that high.
Yes.
How many times I've done that. But at times will come along when I wish I had said something and I didn't. I opened my mouth when I should have been listening. But I am a firm believer that if I try to share the word with somebody and it fails, if I get a door shut in my face, that you kind of touched on this yesterday about this, going to the address. But yeah, if I share what's in here in the Bible, then the Lord can use that. If I do it poorly, if I do it awkwardly, the Lord can use that if I do it from my heart and for Him. Okay? But what He cannot use is my silence. He cannot use my silence. So if we care, if we know you're going to hell without God, then where's our urgency?
That's great, Roger.
And that's a passion.
I was talking to a fellow yesterday where I work, company undisclosed, person undisclosed, about the day I came to Christ and how I came to church the first time, and I just looked around trying to figure everybody out. What's the preacher ranting and raving about? Looking at the windows, looking at the walls, looking at the people. I didn't get a lot out of the first service. By the second time I went, I started listening, and the Word of God was just tearing me apart, you know. And like somebody said, once said, it doesn't need to be defended. It's like a lion, turn it loose, it'll defend itself. And my preacher, just like my preacher's a wonderful man of God and loves the Lord and faithful to God, and he was preaching the message. I couldn't even tell you what the sermon title was. I just knew what the Lord was doing in my heart. And, you know, it's the same thing when I'm teaching a Sunday school lesson, or Mike, I'm sure, would say the same thing. Sometimes we can fall all over ourselves, but if the Word of God's still going out and it's coming from a heart that's trying to be yielded to the Lord, people see that. They know when you're sincere. They know when you're not. They know when it's just words because you're doing it out of duty and you're not doing it because you love people. The Lord can do a lot he can take our inability and have perfect ability in what He's doing.
That's a good statement. Yes, sir. It's a good statement.
You're right, brother. We're worried about messing it up. But God He can make amends with a lot of what we do if we do it from the right kind of heart. But you're right, He can't use silence. Boy, that's a wonderful statement. I want to hang on to that.
And Roger, Travis was talking about, you know, a challenging time in your life. Can you share with everybody about your cancer, if you would, brother? You know, I think you shared a little bit more with me yesterday at work. Just kind of expound on that and how God gave you the faith, and your wife too, to get through all that.
Well, I've had two bouts with cancer.
Right.
The first one was several years ago, and I actually don't remember the year now, but I was diagnosed with throat cancer. There were polyps on my larynx. And the doctor put a camera down there and saw them. I saw them. And he said they've got to come out. And the short of it is that he said they've got to come out. He said best case scenario is that there will be no after effect as far as speaking or whatever, my voice. Worst case is you'll use one of these vibrators for the rest of your life. That he'd have to take out the voice box completely, because that's where these polyps were. Yeah. And he identified them as cancer. So I was, in a sense, home alone at the time. My wife was 1,000 miles away in Florida, helping out her elderly aunt, whom we were guardians for. But as I left the doctor's office that day, I was sad. I was frustrated. I hadn't anticipated that diagnosis, that we've got to do surgery and here are your options. So I went to a local chili parlor and I ordered the biggest, baddest plate they had. And I sat down at the table with it and I prayed and I truly turned it over to the Lord right there. I was kind of, I guess, despondent. I didn't have my wife there to lean on with me, and you know, but I said, Lord, I can't do this. It's up to you. Your will be done. And a lot of people were praying for me. It wasn't me. I mean, there's no glory here for Roger. But a lot of people were praying as we went through, set up for surgery, scheduled for surgery, went to the hospital, got prepped and all the stuff. And went into surgery. Of course, I was out. And I don't remember any of this, but the doctor went in to go in and do what he had to do. But he come out, my family was there, all three sons and Wanda and another close friend. But he come out and told Wanda, he said, there's nothing there. He said, I don't understand it, but there's nothing there. And when I woke up, of course, after the anesthetic, you know, I understand it.
And just a week or two before when he found it, he was certain that was cancer.
Oh, yeah.
It was there, yeah.
Yeah. The pictures are still probably on their files somewhere.
Yeah.
And right. You saw them too, right?
Well, yes. Yes, on the screen, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah. And that was nothing short of a miracle that was not of man. It wasn't anything Roger did.
It Roger, I have to believe hearing you tell that story that the Lord probably had a good indication you'd be using your voice to witness for him after that. We're going to need it.
Well, then the second time, and I'll expound on that comment in just a minute, but the second time that Mike is aware of, in February of 17, about what, almost a year and a half ago, about that, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and it was a Gleason scale 9, stage 4, had metastasized through my pelvis and into my right hip and into the femur, leg bone. And the doctors wanted to do radiation. They wanted to do 45 consecutive radiation treatments and then chemotherapy after that. And they wanted to give me a bunch of shots in my stomach in the process. And I did get one shot. The doctor didn't let me leave the office that day. I mean, he said, we've got to get this started. And so we got that shot. Could I do that over again? I wouldn't have taken that. But we saw the radiologist here in Elizabethtown, and we're scheduling to do that. But interesting, the radiologist, and I probably better not call his name, but he's a good man. He didn't push his product. He said, you really want to, you know, whatever you all want to do, you need to research and you'd be comfortable. He said, this is what we need to do. We need to do this this radiation. But we took that as just a sign from God that we need to look at this. We did. We talked about it, and we did. We started researching, and we found a holistic clinic in North Carolina that we ended up going to. My first visit there was the first week of June in 2017, and I'm looking at you because I've already spent 2 weeks there, and then I had to go back. So I've been there several times since. For a while, I was there every other week, but doing detoxification, and I take a lot of natural supplements, yeah. All organic. We changed our eating plan to a plant-based diet, and mostly raw. This was all at the doctor's direction in North Carolina, where we were. It's Holistic Medical Clinic of the Carolinas. I will promote them. You'll know why in a second. But this was the 1st of June. In August, we did a full body scan with and without contrast. And the cancer was gone. There was no sign of cancer that quick. In October, we did an MRI of the pelvic area where the cancer was focused no sign of cancer. I'm still on this eating plan. I still take the supplements. I still do the detoxification, which is simple stuff. It's just, you got to do it. First week of April, did another full body scan and an MRI. No sign of the cancer. And today, you know this, but today at 1 o'clock, I had an appointment with the radiologist again, who wanted to see me again here in Elizabethtown and check the PSA level. To his disbelief, it's gone down. I don't know, PSA level is yeah. You know, okay, that's part of,
right.
Yeah. But the doctor in North Carolina, a very dear man, met with me and Wanda for 2 hours, our very first visit. Doctors don't do that, but he did. And about halfway through the session, he leaned forward on his desk and he said, "Mr. Urban, I can't cure your cancer." He said, "Only he can do that." And he pointed his finger up.
That's good.
All right. I knew it was with the right man.
You were at the right place.
That's right. Yeah. But I followed their protocol, and I'm going to continue to follow it.
Amen.
But the Lord gets the glory. The doctor doesn't take credit. Right. I certainly don't take credit.
That's
good.
Well, what a blessing. That's a great story in and of itself, brother. That's fantastic.
But that's just, I've told as many people as I can. But Pete, you tell people today about that, and they kind of say, "Well, that's nice," and they go on and do their radiation. I've talked to a lot of cancer patients. But there were cancer patients in that clinic who had been given the death sentence, had been given weeks or months to live, and this was years ago, and they're still happy. But anyway.
A lot of Brother Roger documentaries on cancer. I've lost mm-hmm. a lot of people in my family with cancer and seen the traditional treatment applied over and over again. And seeing respite care come in afterwards and do what they do, and you know, quite honestly, I believe everybody's doing what they know to do and what they've been trained to do. And a lot of people that are well intentioned, and people get cured with modern therapies. I realize that, and but boy, I have just seen time and time again and heard testimonials over and over about. How some of the chemotherapy and radiation treatment is so harmful to our bodies, and there's things that you can do nutritionally to help your body heal itself, you know, and with the Lord involved, obviously.
Yes.
He's the curator of all
he's
of
the,
it.
He's the healer.
Yes, sir. And one place, I can't remember if it was in Germany or Mexico. I know there's a lot of distance between the two, but my memory doesn't serve me at the moment. But a place where people were, and this was several years ago, but it hadn't been that distant, where people were going to get heat therapy. Evidently, tumors don't respond well to heat. And they would concentrate heat on the area where the tumor was, and then they had intravenous vitamins and minerals. They were giving them over about the course of a month. I think something to the tune of about $12,000 to go there for this month and stay and receive this treatment. And people were coming away with just phenomenal results. I mean, you know, cancer being cured left and right in a therapy that they don't even offer. Here, you know, and it saddens me.
They do that in Mexico.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. And that might be where it was, but I'm not sure. I'm thinking the one I saw was in Germany, but yeah, I'm just glad to hear you say what you said, because I think some people need to hear that as well, and I won't elaborate on that. I could really get on a tangent. That's a place close to my heart, because I've lost so many family members with cancer, and I've just seen the same thing over and over again, and just kind of gets in my crawl a little bit. So anyway, we probably ought to pivot from there, because I think I could get on a tangent. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Roger, what is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
The best piece of advice? Well, there have been a lot of them. The key is we got to listen. But the best piece of advice I would say that I've ever been given was I was drafted into the military service during Vietnam in 1966, and had to be at the reception station early in the morning, one Monday morning. I left the house at 4:30, still lived at home. I was a teenager, 19. And of course, we know, you know, we've all lost friends in Vietnam or know somebody. But as I left the front door, my mom hugged me and my dad shook hands and he said, all I can tell you is just look to the Lord. And I've never forgotten that. And I count that some of the best advice I've ever had. I wasn't a Christian at the time, not yet. But when I was inducted into the Army, they gave us all a Gideon New Testament. And I still have it today. I've got it on the dresser in my bedroom. I had made notes in it. But I remember what Dad said. Again, I wasn't a Christian yet, but I took it serious. And I didn't become a Christian until after I was out of the Army and married and had our first child. But when you ask what's the best piece of advice, that's what comes to mind.
Yeah, sure. What do you think, Rogers, is a daily habit that aids you consistently, something that you do on a daily basis that, again, we've all got, and I know some of these questions are awkward because you feel like you're bragging on yourself, but we're asking, and God made us all different, we've all got different strengths, but what's maybe something that you do on a daily basis that aids you, that you think might be a help to someone else?
Well, I already told you that when I get up in the morning, I pray. And that's usually a short prayer as I get up and get ready for the day and get going. But prayer is that's the key to living. Everything we need, everything we'll ever run into is in the Bible. But I also do a Bible study program that I actually printed off the internet, or Wanda does for us, but different pieces of scripture that I will write it down on a yellow pad, and every day, and I miss days when I'm traveling or something, I'm not gonna lie about it, but that's a practice. And I get a lot of good from that, from writing those scriptures down. When you actually read it from the Bible and you write it down, it helps me remember it. Plus, I think about what I read and wrote all day long. I just reflect on it. And that has helped me a lot, is the actually in cursive. I know they quit teaching that in school for a while, but they're doing it now again in Indiana, I believe. But anyway, that's what comes to mind when you ask that question. What did I do every day?
That's good. Mike, you finish us up. I know we're wrapping up in time, Roger. We appreciate everything you've given. Appreciate you coming out here today, brother. No kidding. Means a lot. There's been a lot of value in this podcast. People are going to get help from. And Mike will wrap things up.
Before we wrap up, Roger, just obviously the Bible to all of us, that's our main source of strength and comfort. But another book that you ran along, you know, down through the years, they stayed with you. What's that one book you can recommend to our listeners that they should get a hold of and read it?
Well, what comes to mind there is it's kind of a recent book. I have read... I've read several books, but a recent book is Autopsy of a Deceased Church. And our churches today are in trouble because we as Christians are laying down on the job. I mean, that's my feeling. The church today, the Lord's church at large, has laid down. We've moved away from the Lord. And that this book points out a lot of things, just common sense things, that you can read and say, yeah, that goes on in our church, and it's a wake-up call, yeah. Or it better be. something better be a wake-up call. But that's what comes to mind.
Amen. Amen. Well, as we close today, and we do, like Travis said, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And I do appreciate you and your wife and the fellowship we've had at my work. Just closing out today, Roger, give us a parting piece of advice to all of our listeners and maybe a way to get a hold of you via email or, you know, whatever.
Well, a song comes to mind. It's an old song that says, every day I pray, 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 pray. I could sing it for you, but you probably wouldn't want that. But we mentioned a minute ago that Jesus said that I am with you always, even until the end of the world.
Amen.
And as a Christian, many times, just about every day, I say, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
And if we're doing anything for the Lord, Satan's going to be right in our face. He's going to be right there. He's going to have a different idea about what we ought to be doing. And we have to keep in mind that no matter how big Satan seems, our God is bigger.
Gotcha.
Our God is bigger, and we've got to hang on to that. And so my advice is just hang on to your faith, hang on to the Lord, and pray.
And then how could our listeners, is there a way to get a hold of you? Like, I know you mentioned your battle with cancer and how, you know, the Lord delivered you through all that. Mm-hmm. Is there a way, maybe email or somehow they can get a hold of you?
Sure, sure. I'll share my email address or phone number.
Yeah, whatever you want to do, bro.
If you'd like.
Sure.
My email address is Cedar Elevator. That is C-E-D-E-R, Elevator 1, just the numeral 1. At scrtc.com.
Okay.
My cell phone number.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, sure.
Is 502-797-4700.
Amen. We appreciate it.
Roger, thank you for everything you've shared with the listeners today. And I'm looking forward to re-listen to the podcast myself. Can't wait to get it home, get it edited so we can give it another spin ourselves. And we'd like to meet with you again in the future at some point if you'd be open to that, brother. We'd love to. Appreciate what you've given to God's people. And know some people are going to get some help from what we've heard today. I know I have already. I'll go away help now.
Yeah.
That's one of the greedy benefits of what we're doing, brother. We get immediate help before it ever gets on the air somewhere. And then we get to re-listen to them too. So we enjoy this thoroughly. Thank you for your time, brother. We appreciate what you've done, what you're doing, and our prayers will be with you in the future. I mean, your heart for the Lord and your ministry and witnessing, and just that you'd be able to reach more people for the kingdom.
Well, appreciate the opportunity to share for the Lord.
Amen.
He's done more for us than we can imagine.
Way more. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for today. I know you've already gotten some huge value out of this podcast, and this will be worth a re-listen. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, Travis and I hope you've enjoyed the podcast with Roger Irvin. And definitely, if you get a chance to check out the resource that he's talking about, Share Jesus Without Fear. That was William Fay put that together, and no doubt under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I think you can, I know you can get his book on Amazon. I think it's $6, $7, $8 at the most, and be a great resource for all of us to check out. And as far as the book at the end, I'm excited about reading that. The Autopsy of a Deceased Church. I think it would serve all of us well if we could really read that, download it, audiobook, however you like to do it. But I'm sure there's some great information for all of us to look at and think about. And so it's really all about accountability on our part. We want to be accountable. We want to do our part. As our pastor always said, we want to make a difference in eternity. And we can only do that by opening up, you know, our mouth and talking to people about Jesus. Share him with a lost and dying world. And so, if you get a chance, listen to this podcast again. Share this. If you would, please, please, please share this podcast with your friends on your social media. Any way you can, encourage those around you that you know to listen to it. That it's going to be a great resource, a great podcast for all of us. And I know your family, friends, coworkers, whoever you think will benefit from this, and we all would. So please do that for us. Again, if you want to contact us, please email us, all one word here, glorytohisnamepodcast@gmail.com. And as Roger said, if you want to get in touch with him, he gave you his email and phone number. Reach out to Roger. He'll be glad to help you out any way he can. And until next time, we're going to sign off from the podcast. We pray that God's blessings upon all that are listening. Amen.